public hearing tonight is change of zone number 1839, Dale Lomas, Seashore Highway Associates, LLC.
This is an ordinance.
Real quick, before we begin, I'm not going to participate in this one, just for the record, so I'm going to recuse myself on it, okay?
Just abandon me, that's fine.
So this is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 4 acres, more or less. The property is located on the north side of Lewis-Georgetown Highway Route 9, approximately 590 feet east of Joseph's Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax map is District 334, Map 4, Parcel 37.04. Staff would submit into the record the staff analysis, the exhibit booklet, a survey, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, and the results of the DLDOT service level evaluation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here in representing this applicant?
Yes, good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates, located just outside of Milton, Delaware. I'm here tonight representing the application for Seashore Highway Associates, LLC. With me tonight is a member of the Seashore Highway Associates, LLC, Mr. Dale Lomas. As introduced, this is an application to grant a rezoning of lands in an agricultural residential district that's located on approximately 4 acres of land, more or less, in the Lewis and Rehoboth 100. It is located on U.S. Route 9, which is the Lewis-Georgetown Highway. We are asking for a rezoning to CR1, commercial residential district. This applicant, Seashore Highway Associate, purchased the property back in 2016. This property is adjacent, and I've got several exhibits in the booklet that I've turned in for the record. One of those exhibits is a commercial area map here. That's at the beginning of the booklet. This property is adjacent to other properties that Seashore Highway Associates owns currently, that is currently zoned CR1. On that property is the Building Supply Depot, is currently operating their business on that piece of property. Mr. Lomas purchases 4 acres adjacent to it to be able to expand the existing uses that he currently has on his zoned properties at this time. Again, this is in an area, although per the comprehensive plan, this is in a low density area, but one of the uses within a low density area, according to Table 8 of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, one of the applicable zoning districts within that area is a CR1 commercial residential district. This area is on this side of the road, which is on the north side of U.S. Route 9. To the back of this piece of property is Penn Central Railroad. So this property is kind of pigeonholed in between the railroad, the U.S. Route 9, and then several commercial properties that are located along this road. You got Millman's Appliance, you got Steele's Gun Shop, and then there's the Beeman's Antique Gallery, and there's other such conditional uses and other types of commercial commercial uses along this side of Route 9. U.S. Route 9 is a major collector road, and one of the key guidelines for future growth, future commercial lands and business development outlined in the comprehensive plan is land that is location on or near a major road. And although no traffic impact study was warranted through the service level evaluation request of DLDOT, DLDOT did state that once this site is developed and once we come in with a site plan, they may request a traffic impact study be done. As part of this application, Mr. Lomas already has a current existing entrance to the Building Supply Depot business on site. As part of an application to expand that, we would have to come under the new DLDOT guidelines that are under the development coordination manual at this time. That would be expanding the roadway widths, adding better shoulders, bike lanes, multi-use paths, and the like. And again, so the application tonight is to ask for that this 4 acres be added or be rezoned to CR1 so that Mr. Lomas can add it to his existing commercial lands that are on the east side of this piece of property. He did purchase the land back in 2016. He's owned the current commercial zoning since 2008. He's made significant improvements to the existing properties. He is cleaning up the site, and he is being asked to be able to expand the existing use that is on his existing commercial site. He did purchase the property from the adjacent neighbor on the west side of the property, which is zoned AR1. There is a residence there. He purchased that from him. And in recent conversations with that landowner, he had no objections to Mr. Lomas being able to rezone this property to CR1. And again, we have submitted for the record several maps and exhibits. I also submitted a findings of facts, and then we feel that the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance, being located in an appropriate location, meeting the purpose of this district and the comprehensive plan by providing sufficient space in appropriate locations for a wide variety of commercial and business development activities, generally serving a wide area located particularly along an existing major thoroughfare such as US Route 9, and where a general mixture of commercial and service activity now exists. We are in the area. We're adjacent to other commercial activities. There are commercial activities happening within the area of this site, and then which is again essential and desirable for the general convenience, orderly growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And then lastly, again, asking for this rezoning, we don't feel like that it's going to diminish or impair any of the property values in the area. It should not create, or will not create, any type of public nuisance. Again, the existing business is already there. It's just looking for an expansion of its facility, and then the actual rezoning will not result in any increased public expenditure. So with that, that is my presentation, and everything that I've stated is in the hearing booklet and along with the exhibits, and we ask that the commission look favorably upon our application.
Okay. See if we have any questions from the commission. Mr. Hudson.
No questions, thanks.
Mr. Wheatley.
I understand the application. Thank you.
Mr. Hopkins.
No questions.
Mr. Whitehouse, do you have any questions?
None, thank you.
None, thank you.
And I do not have any questions either.
Okay.
Let's see if there's anybody else who has anything to say. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of this application? Don't all rush. Okay, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Please come up.
Good evening. My name is Jim Griffin, and before I start speaking, I'll basically explain to you where our property is located. If we could go back to the...
he closed it. Okay, give me just a minute.
Could you show a wider view?
Oh, maybe a little too wide.
How about the country?
So we can see the property across the road. Any further back? Any further back?
Good point.
This is the frontage of our property. It goes back here and there. It's 18 acres, and our property is zoned AR1. It's on that property. We have our home, a barn, two pole barns and a number of run-in sheds for our horses, our properties. Also, there's a sign out front that says Stillwater Farm. We're directly across, part of our frontage is directly across the road from the parcel marked in yellow, which is the subject of this application. The lane that comes up, that divides the two front parcels of our property, also turns and goes out to Joseph Road, so it's a loop between Route 9 and Joseph Road. Over the last 20 years, the parcel that is sought to be rezoned has been in agricultural use, including in the recent past. I'm going to use the applicant's proposed findings of fact to sort of guide my remarks. That says in paragraph 2 that the subject property has been owned by the applicant since 2016. At the date Seashore bought this property in 2016, it was zoned AR1. Of course, you know that it's possible for a buyer to place a condition in the contract that they won't buy the property unless it's rezoned for the use that they ultimately intend. And if that is not achievable, then they don't have to buy the property. So the long and short of what I'm saying there is that if it had been important to the applicant to assure that he had the same zoning that he has for the adjoining 4 acres, he could have made that a condition of the sale. But that was not done, so it has the same zoning use as it had when he bought it, and there's no right just because you own a property next door that already has a history of commercial use that your property be rezoned. And number 3 in the findings of fact, it basically says it's adjacent to parcel 37, which is the 3.71 acres to the right of the parcel in yellow on the right side, right there, and that's about 3.7 acres. And that has, I believe, part of that is, I believe that is already zoned CR1. Also, that fact does not obligate the commission to make a recommendation for the same rezoning as a previously owned parcel. And number 4 in the findings of fact, it says it's in the immediate vicinity of other C1 commercial and vicinity of commercial uses, and that it will not impair or diminish property values within the neighborhood. I do beg to differ with that. For a number of reasons, we think an expansion of a fairly large, already existing CR1 zoning area would impair the value of our property in that it would create much more traffic, and it would almost make a Chinese wall of either old C1 or CR1 directly across from our property. Next, the findings of fact refer to number 5. It says in the 2008 comprehensive plan update, the 4 acres that we're talking about here is identified in a low density area. So that's a key issue here. And it also goes ahead to say that uses such as business development should be confined largely to businesses that address the needs of nearby residents. The focus of retail and office uses in low density areas should provide convenience goods and services to the neighborhood around it. That's not what exists either on that red parcel. That's Builder Supply of Delmarva. They provide windows and doors and cabinets and things like that. And that's not a business that serves the area, and an expansion of that business would make that even a more broad commercial development that really would not serve the immediate residents. Included in the applicant's presentation is a part of table eight from the 2008 comp plan update as far as the future land use element. And the within that, if you look at the findings of fact, the applicant has circled both low density and CR1. Keep in mind that the zoning district here is not CR1. The zoning district here is AR1. And if you, at the very top of that Table 8 chart, it says, or item 2, Agricultural Residential District, AR1. And on the opposite side of that table, it says, Low Density Agricultural Residential Area, allowable units based on 3/4 acre lot size, clustering allowed to 1/2 acre lot size. So that does not mean that in an AR1 area, you can automatically have CR1. What it means is that if it's AR1, the primary usage intended is for single family residential. The next thing I wanted to point out was number 6 in the findings of fact. It says that one of the guidelines for future growth and business development is that the property be located on or near a major road. Although Route 9 is a major collector road, what the applicant did not say is much more important here. If you refer to page 3-9 of the comp plan update, it talks about growth areas. And as I read what the 2008 comp plan future land use element was saying, about growth areas, you have to keep in mind that the applicant's land is not in a growth area. So it's sort of taking something that applies to growth areas and saying this land is in a growth area, which it's not. It's in a low density area. And the growth areas, assuming it was and it's not, it lists 8 factors that you have to look at. And only one of those 8 is being on or near a major roadway. The others are should be in close proximity to an incorporated municipality or close enough to be annexed, presence of existing public sewer and water, plans to extend public sewer within the next 5 years, character and intensity of the surrounding area, location relative to major preserved lands and the area's environmental character. So out of all 8 of those, only one of them applies, and that's because it's on Route 9. The next item in the applicant's proposed findings of fact, they talk about the, says the 2015 Strategies for State Policies and Spending map identifies the area as an investment level 4. Investment level 4, there are 4 levels, 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 4 is the very lowest priority for infrastructure development by either the state or county. So not only is this not in the growth area, it's at the bottom of the pecking order in terms of public investment in infrastructure. So there are several points there in the applicant's presentation that suggest why this 4 acres is not appropriate to be rezoned to a high-intensity commercial use. Paragraph 8 of the findings of fact says that the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance being located in an appropriate area. Meeting the purpose of this district, and they're talking about CR1 and the comprehensive plan, by providing sufficient space in an appropriate location for a wide variety of commercial and business development area activities serving a wide area. Again, as we know, in AR1, any commercial uses are supposed to be uses that serve the convenience and needs of the residents of the immediate area. This is another reason why this is not appropriate. There's been an assumption made by the applicant that this parcel is located in an appropriate area to be rezoned to a high-intensity commercial use, but that's not what the code says. It's not what the comprehensive zoning ordinance says, and it's not what the spending map says. In effect, the applicant has given you a rather tortured interpretation of the standard for determining when commercial zoning is warranted. There should have been some consideration for what is allowed in an AR1 district and the purposes of that district, either in AR1 or AR2. And AR1, AR2 says the purpose, this is section 115-19, is to provide for low density single family residential development together with churches, recreational activities, and accessory uses that are normally compatible with residential surroundings. The AR regulations seek to prevent untimely scattering of more dense urban uses, which should be confined to areas planned for the efficient extension of public services. Again, that is the zoning that we have and what the code says should be there. There was earlier a chart put up that showed the existing commercial on the north side. Can that be put back up?
This is the current zoning map. I'm going to have to dig around for their map.
Okay.
Everything in red is commercial.
Okay, well, I can just speak from that then. That's good. At the corner, at the intersection you see more or less in the middle is Route 9 and Joseph's Road, and it shows Steele's Gun Shop. I believe that was approved when that land was owned by Mr. Reif Snyder, who was an art teacher at Rehoboth High School 30, 40 years ago, and he had an art museum at that time. So that's old C1 for many years ago. It was converted to Steele's Gun Shop. And that's the current use. The next one that shows Builder Supply of Delmarva is the applicant's current land. And I believe that was converted to commercial when it was owned by Jerry Little, who had a fence company there and lived in a small house that's located on the back of the property. And he had a fairly low traffic business. He installed fences and sold fencing materials. The next property over is Beeman's Antiques. That is where Robin Reif Snyder and his wife lived, and they had a series of outbuildings which still exists there that were leased out to vendors that would have things there on consignment. So that's old. There's the on the south side. There's not much. It shows Barica Homes. Sales, but that's been closed and just went on the market for sale. The conditional use is for a shed sale, and that was approved fairly recently, but that's not a large property, and unlikely that that's going to generate a whole lot of traffic. Brenton's RV sales at the upper right is on Log Cabin Road, which is a road that runs parallel to Route 9. And that's they repair mobile mobile homes and RVs, and that's a fairly low impact, low traffic type of business. So the commercial history there has been that a parcel would have been approved many years ago, and there was a little sort of a creep of commercial that sort of took over the north side there. but I don't think that makes a good argument for creating more, because if this property is zoned CR1 and then the property of the in the middle that is a residence at some point went commercial, there'd be a whole Chinese wall across the front of our property that would be commercial. I think you have to consider what's the character of the neighborhood is. There's been not a whole lot of mention about that. Within what appears to me, at least as far as I could measure out, within 1,000 feet of, in all directions of this 4-acre parcel, on the north side, behind the 4 acres, and running across a railroad track to Log Cabin Road, you've got 21 single-family residences and 60 mobile homes. Those mobile homes are in the Tall Pines Mobile Home Park that is shown behind this 4-acre parcel. On the south side, across Route 9, where we live, you've got about 23 single-family residences. So in all, that makes about 44 single-family residences, and within that 1,000 feet, 60 mobile homes, so 104 units that is residential. By contrast, if you, although the red looks like it represents a lot of land area, you're talking about, let's see, 5 to 6 businesses that are in some form of commercial use. As far as traffic is concerned, there's a letter in the record from DelDOT dated June 15th. What it says is that the average daily traffic volume on an average summer day is 14,359 to 18,819 vehicles per day. In the heart of summer, I've sat at my driveway as long as 10 minutes trying to get out. It's still, right now, you can sit there 2 to 3 minutes trying to get out. This letter goes ahead from DelDOT to say, we estimate the proposed land use could generate more than 50 vehicle trips an hour or 500 vehicle trips per day and could be considered to have a major impact. It goes ahead to say that DelDOT considers a major impact to be when it would generate more than 200 vehicles in any hour of the week and 2,000 vehicle trips per day. It goes ahead to say we cannot presently predict the site's trip generation with enough accuracy to make a traffic impact study useful. And what that really means is that the applicant didn't state in his application what he proposes to use his 4 acres for. So until that is identified, DelDOT can't determine whether or not there needs to be a traffic impact study. It says the need for a TIS will be evaluated when a land development plan is proposed. So that's basically telling you that although we heard the representative for the applicant say that the developer plans to make an extension of the builder supply of Delmarva use, that's not part of the record and the documentation that was filed. What are the applicant's options? They've got almost 4 acres of land immediately adjacent where the builder supply of Delmarva is. If you go out and look at these, this property, which I know that from time to time you do that before you make a decision, you'll see that that other 4 acre adjoining piece that the applicant owns is not intensively developed. There used to be a Grizzlies landscape that's left and is relocated up to Route 1 north of Nassau. Probably at least 40% of the frontage is open, and that's the part that Grizzlies used to occupy. The about maybe half the depth of that 4 acre property is the front half is developed, but the back half is not. There's a small tenant house here where Jerry Little used to live that's now rented out to someone, but You've got the whole back half of that property and the left side on the frontage that aren't developed. So there's plenty of land for a more intensive development of the current buildings that are there that served Builder Supply of Delmarva, if that is, as the applicant stated, the intended use. Also, I noticed on your agenda tonight that you're giving some consideration to the introduction of ordinances that would effectively close out the CR1 zoning category.
We can't consider that, though, since this is under this.
I know. But at least on the horizon is the possibility that that will occur and be replaced by ordinances that would divide up this huge number of permissible uses that a person can place on a property in the CR1 area and make them more limited and would then spread them out over several different zoning districts. Just to remind you, although I'm sure you're well aware of this, under a C1 zone, once that grant zoning is granted, it could be any one of these uses. And among those would be...
We're pretty familiar with what those uses are. Anything from manufactured housing sales to a bowling alley.
Any number of things that would be inconsistent with an area where you've got over 100 residential properties and 5 or 6 commercial that was approved over the last 30 years. So I would respectfully request that you recommend to the council that the application be denied. I don't think the use has been established, and the assumption was made, I believe incorrectly, that because this is on a major road, it automatically gets to be CR1. And it's in the very lowest category of spending priorities on the spending and on the spending map. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Any other questions or concerns from the commission? Okay. I will close the public hearing then. You can stay with us till the end of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you can call the office in the morning.